Well, here we are again. It's the news, according to me. Good Friday morning. It is Friday morning. Shabbat Shalom. We have, it's July 26th, 9:25 a.m. Central Time. I am in Tulsa, Oklahoma, as I said I would be. There's so much to talk about. We have, I have no video, no audio, no video. But my day yesterday ended up being much more intense than I had planned on. And of course, got in about midnight last night. So it's been quite the day, quite the week, actually, so far. It's like I said, it has been a week already. My first day this week felt like all week. By the end of the day, I felt like I'd worked all week. And it's just been that way every day since. Today should be a little bit easier. However, it will be a busy day. A normal busy day, so hopefully nothing else weird happens, that, you know, computers all work and everything happens and nothing, you know, no major glitches. We have, due to some, well, basically, I've been given some instructions by a friend of mine not to drink so much chai. And so I'm, this morning, what's in my cup is water. I have a bottle of water here, it's all I've got. And it's pretty boring. But it's, you know, better than nothing. I have a kind of an inside joke. I haven't had breakfast yet, and I really need to do something with some kind of breakfast. I'm not sure what I'm going to do yet. There's a restaurant here at the hotel, but it's not. I'm not sure if I want to get breakfast. If I want to get wait a little while, wait for some lunch places to pop up. Or there's no Chick-fil-A anywhere near me. I thought there was a Chick-fil-A here somewhere, but apparently this is not where I'm not where I thought I was. And there is one place that's about a mile away that has pretty good food. But most importantly, they have good sweet tea. And the sweet tea is, you know, they have like gallon-sized cups that they put it in, which is incredibly nice. But it is a little bit warm outside. And last night, even at whatever time it was, I was outside. I think it was 10 o'clock at night. It was still roasting hot outside. So I haven't even been outside today yet to find out, but it's, I guess it's 79 degrees out right now, but maybe it won't be quite so intense. I don't know. It's supposed to get up to close to 90 by 2 o'clock here. We'll see what happens. Well, actually, it's supposed to get up to 92 degrees here total for the high, but hopefully I can get out of here before it gets too incredibly high, intense with the heat, and I can, I'll just grab some lunch, come back here and do my thing. I will be in Huntsville, Alabama tomorrow. However, there will not be a show from Huntsville. Of course, it's a Saturday, but I have a lot of traveling to do tomorrow, and I have hopefully a few days off after this. I've got several days, actually. There's one day I may have to work in the next 8 days, but that's, other than that, that's, you know, tomorrow I work, and then I have like 7 days off. But yeah, so we'll see how this all goes. But there should be some regular show content. In fact, it should be much better content because I have more time to work on some things. As time goes by, typically the more time I have off, the better my shows get because I have more time to focus on compiling information. So we'll see how this all goes. But anyway, everybody's talking about Kamala, of course. Now, the pollsters are, you know, of course she's going to get a bump as they introduce her, and there's this new energy released into the campaign. They're all talking about that. My question is not so much, because she's already kind of out there. They want to throw her out there and make her act like the president now. They basically want to put her in place of the president, even though the president is still the president. My question is, where is the president? Where is Joe Biden? He's bumbling and stumbling around. He's going to be out on the campaign trail with her. I don't think she'll want him out there with her, but that's what they're doing. Now, the gaslighting has already begun among the media. This is the kind of stuff, and I don't understand this. I don't get what their point is sometimes when they start coming out and saying, oh, it wasn't a bullet that hit Donald Trump's ear. It was just a piece of glass, or we haven't got any medical reports. Why haven't we got any medical reports? Why was he allowed to stand up and say, no, fight? let me tell you something. This speaks more to the ineptitude. You know, the question is, why did they allow him to stand up and say, fight, fight, fight? There's the very questions that they ask are more condemning of them, of what's happening here with the Secret Service, and not so much, oh, it was all a show, it was all fake, this was all a plot. Oh, really? You can do that kind of thing with the Secret Service? You can play those kinds of games with the FBI and Homeland Security? Those are all the kind of games that's the kind of games they want to play. You think that this administration, Mayorkas, would allow such a thing? Now we have the FBI, which I could go through a whole long list of interesting things that they've done over the last 10 years. So many things that don't add up in this whole process. And the more and more things just keep coming through. Now, one of the things that was pointed out to me the other day, and these are some kind of obscure things, but they're worth thinking about. CNN has not live streamed a Donald Trump rally event for years. Years. They were there that day. They were live streaming the event that day. Isn't that a little bit odd? CNN tends to show up whenever any of Donald Trump's former employees or cabinet members, administrative people within his administration, whenever they get arrested at wee hours in the morning or whatever it is, they CNN happens to be there. The only news organization who's privy to this information. So, just throwing that out there. You know, the questions that we ask. Gee, how many coincidences do we have to pile up before we realize that we are in a civil war right now? They're going to wait until this calms down. And what I mean by this, I mean this whole thing of the assassination attempt. Now, Christopher Wray actually came out and said, no, it was actually a bullet that hit Donald Trump in the ear. There's a guy who did a really good demonstration of, he had an AR-15, and he was, of course, they're saying, oh, this is the reason we shouldn't have guns out there. We shouldn't have this. Oh, well, was he shot or wasn't he? I mean, the things that the left does, the way their head melts down, the way their emotional response to this kind of thing is just, there's no logic to these people. There's no self-respection, inflection. There's no self-awareness, no self-reflection, no ability to, and this is why they can't make jokes about it. That's why they can't laugh at themselves. Republicans, people who are conservative, people who are self-aware and who have logic as their guide to coming to conclusions, facts-based information, and they dig down into what is true, they're called conspiracy theorists, and they're called all kinds of names by the left because they just don't want to face the truth. Now, next week, I'm going to get into a little bit more about the, and I think it's worth, because I think it's really at the core of what the Republican Party does not do. The Democrats have a tendency to be very pushy about some ideology, and I think it's important that the Republicans, conservatives, that they have an ability to educate people. And I'm gonna go through a few facts of the things that Kamala is saying, things that she has said on the campaign trail before. But just realize she ran for president once before. She got like less than 1% of the vote. Primaries. She was never above 3% of the polls. And all of a sudden, she's VP. The principles, the ideology that the left runs, this whole idea of equity, not equality, equity. The same outcome, everyone having the same outcome. Well, because not everybody starts at the same place. No, but everybody has the same opportunity. It is just absolutely abhorrent at the way they present this information to people to make, oh, it all makes sense. Oh, yeah, see that way we all end up the same place. We all end up with the same prize at the end. Because some people need more. So we need to distribute more to those people who've started off with less. Who's distributing it? And what are they distributing? And who are they getting this, what they're distributing from? This is not about equal rights to pursue happiness. This is, we are going to force an outcome, whether you like it or not, whether you want it or not. Do nothing and still have the same outcome as someone who does something. Human nature is, unfortunately, not going to work in those things. This whole idea of from those who have to those who have not, or whatever, however that thing goes, I don't know. Each according to his need. From those according to their needs to those according to their needs. Whatever. It's a beautiful statement. Yeah, well, it only works if people are perfect. It doesn't work in this human world where people are selfish and are not motivated unless they have a struggle. And that's not a bad thing. I had several struggles. It made me who I am, made my character what it is. It gives you resolve. It gives you resilience. Certain kinds of stress, certain kinds of struggle are good for you. Ask any parent who sees their child struggling and knowing that if they step in, it's not going to help that child. That's a wise parent. The child needs to figure it out. They know they can do it. They just need to, be there to, in case they make a big mistake when they're a child trying to learn how to walk, for instance. It's a safe place where they can fall down. But they're going to fall down. But that's, they learn, hey, if I do it this way, I fall down, so I'm not going to do it that way again. This is interesting stuff. It's just, the conservative movement has not done a good job of educating. I think Rush Limbaugh probably did the most of any one person, with regard to every day educating people on conservative values and principles. Now, having said that, I don't think he even had made that much of a, that was not his primary goal. I think that he wanted that to be a big part of what he did, and it was. It was a huge part of what he did. But I think that there's so much more that we can do. He was just one man, and of course there was in his early years he was a very maybe a little bit overzealous would be the word. People thought he was just a guy who got on the radio and yelled at everybody. Now, he's not that way. Mark Levin is more that way. Mark has a tendency to get wound up. Now when Mark's doing an interview, he's incredibly quiet. He does long form interviews. He doesn't do these short term, like Sean Hannity will do an interview with someone. It takes 3 minutes, and he'll talk for 2 minutes of that 3 minutes, and then he has somebody else on. And it's always the same people every day. It's always Lindsey Graham, and all these other. Some of them are rhinos. Some of them aren't. I think Newt Gingrich has probably left the rhino camp. I would say he's not even in the rhino camp anymore. I would say he's probably more. Realistically, I think he has more conservative principles now after going through everything he's gone through in life. However, Lindsey Graham, total rhino, he's a total establishment guy, plays to the crowd. There's a reason why he's never made it as a presidential nominee, even though he's tried many times. People see through that crap. And the only reason he has the machine, I think he's in South Carolina or South. West Virginia, wherever he's at, I think there's a reason. He's got the machine down to where he can win the election every time. So that's how these people stay in power. They control a lot of funds. They have a lot of people backing them because they have a lot of people. They're in a lot of people's pockets, I should say. Yeah. So we have a situation right now where Kamala is, of course, going to be up in the polls for a short period of time because this is kind of their honeymoon period. there are a lot of Democrats coming out with a lot of issues. Now, of course, the people who aren't paying attention, people who are just out there for the cultural buzz, which are mostly young people. There's this kid who he gets paid by the DNC, by the way. He's a total lackey. I mean, the things he says. He was saying Biden was going to be the president and he's going to win the nomination right up until the point where he stepped out of the race. He even said he was going to probably come back and still be the president. But he says he's fully capable, fully, you know, he just talked to him last May and he was fully sharp, fully engaged, in-depth talking to him about things. This is all... this kid gets paid for this. He gets paid to be a shill on TikTok. I think he's 18 or 19 years old, maybe 20. And he just continues to spout out all this drivel that's untrue. Best economy in 57 years. Best blah, 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 lowest blah, blah, blah. Just on and on and on. And just he just keeps saying that and without any kind of facts, any kind of figures. Just says it. He repeats it over and over and over, and young people believe that, and they start getting behind it because they don't pay any attention. They don't care about the facts. They just care about their feelings. I know Ben Shapiro is famous for saying facts don't care about your feelings, and that is probably one of the things I can agree with on Ben Shapiro about. We have to step back from our feelings, disconnect from that a little bit. And just look at the facts and see what's going on here. And unfortunately, this is one of the things that leftists do not do. There's no time to step back and take... The only thing they have is their good feeling of virtue, their virtue signaling, their virtue feelings, dopamine that they get from being self-righteous. I'm doing the right thing. So we're dealing with this in a big way now. Kamala is huge on LGBTQ issues. She's very, very promotional in those things. And that with regard to, sadly, she's just all the concepts, all the ideas that somehow they're still oppressed people. They're not. They're not oppressed people. They have special rights now. And anybody who has special rights are not oppressed. That's just the fact of it, the way it is. If you have special rights, special group rights, protected rights that go above everyone else, you are no longer oppressed. And to think that they are still oppressed means that someone in the country, institutionally, is keeping someone down. That just doesn't... If that's happening, that's their criminal liability. It is anyway. Because every individual has rights, and if those rights get encroached upon, well, that's... But that doesn't mean you take away from someone else's rights to have the... You have the right to hate someone. I hate to say it. I don't even like saying it. But when Kamala Harris comes out and says, hate in any form, any kind of hatred should be... she said abolished or whatever she said. No, not really. There are some things we should hate. We should hate poverty. We should hate addiction. We should hate things. We should hate war. So just to say that hate in all of its contexts, there are some things that should be hated. With passion, by the way. But that's not the way they see things. They just want to label something and everybody. When AOC comes out and says, nobody wants to see Donald Trump do this. Nobody wants to see this. Nobody wants to see that. Really, because there's 74 million people that voted for the guy. There's 74 million people who probably feel this particular way. And you're saying nobody? What they're really doing is they're saying you are a nobody if you believe that. You are a nobody if you support that. No, you are a nobody if you voted for this person, if you support that person. That's what they're really saying. Nobody believes that. Well, okay, so since I believe that, I'm a nobody. That's really what they're saying. They're trying to protect their little bubble that they live in and think that they're on the right side of history and that they are only saying how you should think. Giving you any kind of reasoning behind why they think the way they think or why you should think the way you should think. There's no debate. It's just this is the way it is. But and I realize it's hyperbole sometimes. We use that in a language. We'll say, oh, nobody wants this. Well, yeah, there are some people who want that, unfortunately. Now, I think most people on the planet want to see prosperity. They want to see people succeed in what they're trying to do. And they want to see, unless they're trying to, do something nefarious. They want to see them achieve and be productive and be helpful to the community, their own life, and be able to be independent. But that's sometimes just jealousy and lust and envy sneak in, and they start to say, well, you've achieved something. They don't see the discipline and the hard work that went behind somebody getting somewhere. I've got some friends who've accomplished major things in their lives because of the hard work and discipline that they've put in behind the scenes. And people just look at that and say, look, you just did that. And it was so easy for you. Well, you didn't see the last 15 years of them grinding away to get to a position where they could do that. You don't see that. Are there some people who have a natural inclination to do certain things, a certain aptitude for certain things? Absolutely. That's why we need each other. Some people can do things better than I can. Some people are more administrative. I am not administrative at all. At all. And I need help. I'm glad there are people in our midst and among our society who are administrative. I'm glad that there are people with OCD, because those are the kind of people sometimes that, while they're not easy to be around, kind of keep things in line better. Especially around me. I'm glad we have people who are anal retentive. There are some positions, there are some jobs that's actually a good thing. Some would even argue that there are places for narcissists in life, and that's, there's some all kinds of, now sociopaths, sociopaths, and psychopaths, I probably not so much, other than to remind us that we shouldn't be that way. The whole point here, what I'm trying to say is there are differences in personalities, there are strengths and weaknesses of everybody who, some people who excel in one thing have weaknesses in other things. It's a very, very typical that certain personality types, if you want to go that way. I hear people say, I don't believe in types. Well, they exist. Okay. In order to better understand each other, we have to kind of at least not necessarily pigeonhole people, but at least kind of group them into areas where we can understand how they respond and react, how they're expected to respond and react in certain circumstances. That way we can kind of figure ourselves out collectively. You want to drill down on someone individually in their own life. And everybody kind of adapts to their particular ecosystem, but their particular environment. But some people are very outgoing and energetic in certain circumstances, in certain situations, in certain environments, among certain other people. Among their family, they may be very different than they are when they get out in public. Or at their work situation, or with their, when they're relaxing with their friends. They may be very different. I mean, they act very different on the beach than they do at the grocery store. Hopefully they do. But that's just the nature of people, and that's part of our psyche, part of how we try to understand ourselves. Kamala Harris is one of the most phony individuals I've seen in a long time, especially on the world stage. She is absolutely like I've said, she operates, everything is in portrayal. She has there's no genuine bone in her body, I don't believe. She just is a consummate professional politician. Plays the political game to whatever wind she needs to do it. Even though she has some kind of an ideology that she likes to push, that she likes to get behind, but it's only because it makes her popular among her own friends. She is incredibly insecure. Incredibly insecure. And she has believe me syndrome. Let's say this, there's all kinds of things I could call it. When she's talking, she wants you to agree with her. She'll nod her head a lot. She's like, she's trying to, can you nod with me as I'm saying this? Can you, so you can believe me? Can you? It's an incredible thing to watch. It's a disorder that goes beyond. It's just amazing to me. So, as we go into this weekend, just take some time off. You know, there's so much going on. Just disengage. Take some time off. However, at the same time, keep your ear to the ground about what things are being said by people on the left. If you notice, nobody on the left is really going after the FBI, asking them questions, thinking about, you know, what are you guys doing? They're making more innuendos about the Trump administration, the Trump people around Trump, saying, oh, you guys are the ones that you never hear them being critical, hardly ever being critical of the FBI or the alphabet soup organizations out there. There's a reason for that. And we'll get into that more next week. There's a big reason why you'd hardly ever hear the left complaining about the FBI, complaining about Homeland Security, complaining about, and it's just very, very rare. This idea that AOC and some of the other, and Jamie Raskin of all people, if he's doing something, I say just do the opposite of whatever Jamie Raskin is saying, or Dan Goldman, either one of those two. Just do the opposite of whatever they say and you'll be fine. When they come out and start asking for the resignation of Secret Service director, I think that you probably have, there's probably a reason. And of course now, all of a sudden, she's gone and it's out of the news. They wanted it to go away. And it did. As soon as she said it, it went away. I resign. All of a sudden, there's nothing in the news about it anymore. Well, she's gone. She's gone now. So the question is, who's directing it now? And how are they going to change things? And what are they going to do to protect Donald Trump? They obviously have a cache of about 12 men around Jill Biden at the same time that they have very few people around Donald Trump. And I've always had this question about the insiders at the Secret Service. How do you know we can trust them? This is supposed to be kind of an independent organization that is apolitical. They have one job to do. Regardless of who it is, their job is to protect whoever they are placed whoever's placed under their protection. But, like I've said, there are the Peter Strzok types that probably work for the Secret Service just like they work for the FBI and every other organization that's out there. You've got Clapper and all these other people out there who signed their name on a letter that was false and they knew it was false. All of which to get rid of the idea that the Hunter laptop was legitimate, that it was just, oh, this is just Russian disinformation. Russians are sitting down typing out hundreds of thousands of emails, pictures, taking pictures of Hunter Biden and doing all kinds of work with them to make it look like he's bad, a bad dude. And then trying to tie, and then putting all kinds of emails in there to tie them to Joe Biden and his access. Saw a note that was put on the back of someone's car recently. It's kind of written in one of those little glass marker type deals. And it said, I'd rather have a president who gives up his fame and fortune for the country than a president who gives up his country for fame and fortune. And obviously, you can fill in the blanks there and see who you're talking about, but it's... It just goes on and on and on. They're losing this battle, and I think that as time goes on here, now Kamala Harris is a definite threat to the election series here. You're going to have people who are rabid supporters of hers who are going to do whatever they have to do. I don't think we're going to see the last assassination attempt of Donald Trump. I think this has probably emboldened some people. And when you have people coming out and saying, oh, I wish he would have made it, I wish he would have hit. When you can interview people on the street and they're saying, so upset that he missed, can't believe he missed, you know, get it right next time. I think some of it is just emotional hyperbole, but these people are actually saying it. And I don't think they realize how disgusting, how deranged, how inflamed they are by this. Normal, average, everyday people that look like they should just be normal people. I have nothing but love in my heart, but I think Donald Trump should be killed. Really? How do you get there? How do you get there from, I have all this love in my heart, but Donald Trump should be killed? It's because they have dehumanized him. He's nothing but a monster. And this is what they go with, this idea that he's a Hitler. He's nothing but a horrible machine. It just needs to be stopped at any cost. How did you come to this conclusion? How did you come to this? How did you logically lay this all out and think that this is the guy that we need to stop or else he's going to ruin the country? Well, he wants to end democracy. Really? Is that what that's what he wants to do? He wants to end democracy. How exactly is he going to, what's his plan to do that? Well, the 2025 program. No, he's not a part of the 2025 program. That's not his program. He's not going to take away Medicare. He's promised this. There are some things that I think probably need to be looked at, reorganized, restructured. Social Security is one of those things. But it wouldn't be such a bad thing if we weren't taking on an influx of people who have not paid into the program or are not paying into the program. Millions of people who are coming in getting benefits now. Draining our tax dollars. The burden is just going to be too much for us. It's too much too fast. So, having said all of this, I just want to bid you a fair weekend with lots of peace and comfort. Relax. Take it easy. Hopefully nothing weird happens this weekend. Not much we can do about it anyway. So just disconnect. And then re-engage when your batteries are charged and you're ready to dive into some of these things. And next week I will have, Monday I will have a show for sure. Monday and Tuesday show. Probably have a show Wednesday. I'm pretty much certain of that. It's going to be kind of a crazy day. But Wednesday is probably going to be a show. And then Thursday and Friday, of course, will be a show as well. So, in the meantime, thank you folks for listening, for lending me your ear as I drink my water. And this is good water. Have a great weekend. Take care. God bless.